I'd like to invite the children. Come join me up front. I have a bag here full of things that I just don't understand. Maybe you guys can help me understand them a little better. How many of you know what this is?
That's a CD.
I don't understand CDs.
CDs play music.
When I look at them, I don't see any songs on them. You have to put them on a CD player. I don't understand that, but like, I know you put it in the CD player and it plays beautiful music. I don't understand it, but I know it works. I don't understand how he does it, but God put a song in my heart. When I'm sad, he puts a song in my heart that cheers me up. When I'm happy, he puts a song in my heart that'll praise him. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. How many of you know what this is?
Phone.
It's a phone. I don't understand how I can pick this thing up, dial a number, and call someone hundreds of miles away. And then they can answer it and talk to me like they're right beside me. I don't understand how it works, but I know it does. I don't understand prayer. I don't understand how I can talk to God and he's in heaven and he can talk to me. I don't understand it, but it works. What's this?
That's medicine.
It's medicine. I don't understand how medicine works. I understand that you take this stuff, but I don't know how it gets to where it's supposed to go. I don't understand it, but it works. I don't understand how God can heal the deepest hurt in pain in my life. I don't know how he does it, but he does. How about this thing? What's this? A calculator. I don't understand how I can push some buttons on this thing and put a problem in there and expect it to give me the right answer. I don't understand it, but I know it works. I don't understand how God has all the answers to the problems in my life. I don't understand it, but I know it works. How about this thing?
Flashlight.
It's a flashlight. I know this one seems pretty simple, but I don't understand how a flashlight works.
The flashlight, if you press this button, it turns on a light,
but I understand there's a bulb in there and some batteries,
that,
but...
That bulb, it shines light, because if it's really dark, like, if the power went out and there's, like, no light and it's in the night, you might need one of these to see. You can press the button and you can see what's going on.
That's true. I don't understand how this flashlight works, but I know it does. I don't understand how in the darkest days of my life, God is my light. I don't understand how he does it, but he lights every path in my life. How about this thing? A TV remote. I don't understand this thing at all. I don't understand how I can sit all the way across the room, press a button, and it does something to the TV. I can change the channel, I can adjust the volume, I can fast forward in a movie. I don't understand how this thing works, but I know it does. I don't understand how God can sit on his throne in heaven and control everything down here on earth. I don't understand it at all, but I know that God is in control. He directs our path. He always is doing new things in our lives, and we don't have to look at a path. We can move forward with God's help. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that I don't have to understand your ways. I only have to know that you are in control. You have made a way for us and are doing new things. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for
We start to realize that life has meaning and purpose when we begin to see that God is making things new, that God is doing a new thing. Our past, our future, our current circumstances are redeemed. Wherever we are, whatever we're facing, however long we've endured it. Isaiah 43, 1-5 says this, "The Lord, He who created you, He who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not be afraid, for I am with you." The purpose, the plan, the meaning to our lives is further defined in verses 10 to 13. God says, "You are my witnesses, whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I and not some foreign God among you." Again, he says, "You are my witnesses that I am God. Yes, and from the ancient days, I am He. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it?" Friends, if you're looking for power in your lives, look no further. God has just defined it. When God acts, no one can reverse it. He says in verses 18 to 19, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." The question we ask ourselves this morning is this: what do you see when you see your life? Do you see possibilities or do you see problems? Possibilities equal opportunities. Problems often equal disappointment. A possibility can mean a new thing. Problems can keep us in the past, dwelling, immobilized, seized, confined to the former things. When an opportunity knocks, the door remains closed because we're so locked up and unable to act. And can I be honest this morning? That is exactly where the enemy wants you to be. So focused on the past that you can't see what could possibly be. But friends, as haunting as our past may be, God is saying, "Look, I'm doing a new thing." This guarantee came from God at a bleak point in Israel's history. They were in captivity. They've lost everything they thought they would never lose. And they're homesick for the land and the blessing that God had promised. Friends, keep this tucked away in your hearts. We can stand on the promises of God today for a glorious new beginning and the new things in our lives. You see, the reliability of any promise depends on personality. It depends on capability. It depends on integrity and generosity. And when we examine God based on those qualities, there's no doubt. We can see that His words, that His promises are indeed reliable. It's when we wait on Him and wait for Him that we receive His blessings. But it starts and it ends with changing our focus, making the decision to no longer look behind and start looking ahead. God says again, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Think about it. If we're continually looking behind us, we can't possibly see what's ahead. The past has always been to help us, not to hurt us. And as Rafiki says in the movie Lion King, you can either learn from it or run from it. And I wonder how many of us have been running for a very long time. But we know the saying, the past always catches up with us. If we're going to move on to the new things in Christ, we must learn from them. We can't depend even on the past victories to sustain us. God is doing a new thing, not only in our lives, but in the life of little Swatara. Traditions are awesome, except when they keep us from moving forward. The children of Israel were no strangers to victories. They left Egypt, conquered the land of Canaan, fighting off conquerors, surviving a split in their country. But now, friends, they're in captivity. All those precious, precious victories are nothing. The past cannot set them free. They needed a new work, a new miracle, a new victory. The question isn't, what has God done? The question must be, what is God doing right now? What is it we want Him to do? Our past cannot confine us. Bygones must be bygones. The children of Israel had failed God miserably. Every time He blessed them with good things, they in return gave evil things. God gave them the temple. They gave Him idol worship. God gave them truth, and they lived and proclaimed a lie. He gave them commands, and they lived like they were only suggestions. He gave them wealth, and they used it to abuse the poor. He gave them Himself, and they rejected Him. You see, the children of Israel didn't deserve to receive anything from God. Yet, He continued to love them and longed to help them change their focus. We keep God's message at the front of our minds. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Perhaps this morning you need to hear God is not in the business of condemning your past. There's nothing we can do to change it. Instead, hear this, friends. God is holding out a hand of hope. He's in effect saying, forget about the past. I am giving you an opportunity to start over. Now, I'm sure there's some of us here this morning that wouldn't mind a do-over in a few areas of your lives. Maybe in a marriage that's been on the rocks. Maybe for children who have had less than a mother or father. Or maybe relationships around you that are crumbling to pieces. We've learned that we can't live on yesterday's faith. The children of Israel had experienced such great spiritual blessings through their history. From the first Passover, to the crossing of the Red Sea, to the conquering of the land of Canaan, to the building of the temple. They had seen the hand of God at work in and through their lives. Yet, their faith in what God had done was doing nothing to deliver them from their present circumstance. That prior faith was not enough to deliver them from their present problem. They needed new faith, a new vision for what God was up to. Psalm 85, 6 and 8 infers this. They needed a new portion of the faith that had brought to pass all the victories from before. So here's the thing. We need to reposition ourselves to what God wants to do in our lives and this church at this very moment. And it all begins with a repentant heart over the known and unknown sins. It takes turning away from what's evil and turning to God in righteousness, forgetting the ugly, despised past in anticipation of the glorious new thing God wants to do. You see, we move ahead by calling on the living God. We're very much aware God can do a new thing. It's called revival. We've seen it before. He's done it in the past, and I truly believe he is doing it now. The question is, are we ready for that new beginning? Are we ready to receive the new thing God is doing? It's obvious. He wants to clarify our focus, to keep our eyes fixed on him. He wants that faith within us that can see the invisible. Like Moses saw the Egyptians perish. Like David saw Goliath's head cut off. Like the three Hebrew men who saw their God delivering them. God is saying to us this morning, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. So again, what is that view of life you have? Do you see possibilities or do you see problems? Notice that God said, I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The children of Israel had a choice. They could view their past and the problems of their present, or they could focus on what God wanted to do. It comes down to this. In order to discover what God wants for us, we've got to see ourselves as God sees us. Let me say that again. In order to discover what God wants for us, we must see ourselves as God sees us. The children of Israel felt they got what they deserved, all because of the way that they had lived. Some even believed God would never have anything to do with them again. But they could never be more wrong. We too may feel like our past has made our lives like a wasteland. But only in God can our lives become a stream of life. When we see our possibilities as God sees them, we clearly see the way he's making in the desert. We start to see that only God is able to transform the desert areas of our lives into fields of blessing and abundance. Friends, know this. God can take a dried up, useless life and transform it into a life of purpose and grace. And the good news is this. We don't need to understand him or know how he's going to do it. We only need to believe and trust and maintain faith and hope. But I do realize there could be some skeptics among us. Why would God even want to do a new thing? Now, mind you, that new thing doesn't mean adding or taking away from the Word of God. God will always do a new thing to show his glory. So this morning, if we find ourselves desperate to give God the glory, we're already positioned for that new thing. And we know deep down in our hearts, no matter where we may be this morning, the time is now to know God's power, to know God's glory, to know his mercies, and his presence will never, ever run out. They're more active, they're more alive than ever before. That wonder in your life, that miracle that's happened, is there for a reason. It's a witness to the unbeliever to see his glory in our lives and through us, that they too might seek the Lord. When God says he'll do a new thing, it's not only a promise. It means we move from where we are to where he wants us to be. But friends, it's still up to us to choose if we want what God is offering. Think about the children of Israel for a moment. Had they refused God's plan? Had they refused to follow where God was leading? Guess where they would have remained? In captivity. You see, God already knows the direction. God already knows the purpose of our lives, the purpose of this church. The former things will never compare to what God is doing right now. We can never evaluate the future based on what we've experienced in the past. The time is now, friends, to call upon the great name, to pray, to seek him, to surrender, and to confess. And then, look out, we'll behold the God of new beginnings. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are constantly doing a new thing in our lives and in the life of this church. But Father, we confess there's times we get in the way. There's times our sins have us confused and we don't know the direction you are calling us. So once and for all, Father, we're laying down our sins before you and never again returning to them so that you can do that new thing in our lives. We submit, we surrender, and we ask in boldness, with courage, that you would begin that new work within each of us. Transform us and guide us into that new way of living that you call us. May you be glorified in it all. And it's through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh.
Spirit of God, we pray by your grace, by your mercies, by the new beginnings that you have for us, that we would go in that presence, knowing that there is a new thing happening. Going trusting, going hoping, going believing that this new thing will stir in our hearts and it will move us to repentance, to live a life free from our past, a life free from our present sins, to go forth bursting in to that new beginning. Amen.